الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، inshallah, we continue from where we left off as it relates to Bulughul Maram, Kitab al-Siyam, from Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayh. And just a reminder that we're using the explanation of predominantly the explanation of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, and also the explanation of Sanani in Subul al-Salam. Just a quick revision or review of what we've done for the last couple of weeks. What is the proof? What is the proof that if you do not have the intention to fast in the middle of the day, in a non-obligatory fast, that is permissible for you to continue fasting and you will get reward from when your intention began? What is the proof for that? For a non-obligatory fast, you don't have to have your intention before Fajr. What is the proof for that? Salah. The hadith of Aisha. What's that hadith?
The prostitute
came and asked Aisha to repeat. She said that I'm fasting. That was after Fajr. Now, and the proof that is for an obligatory fast, you have to have the intention to fast before Fajr. What's the proof for that? For an obligatory fast. Ya Ahl al-Athar. Maymuna? Hadith of Hafsa. And is that narration from Hafsa, is it marfu or mawquf? Mawquf, but the reality is that there's no way that she could have mentioned a narration like that, her or Abdullah ibn Umar, except that they got it from who? From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it takes the hukum of a marfu', when in reality it's mawquf sanadan. It's mawquf as relates to the isnad. Okay. Next question is, what is the correct opinion as relates to whether you have to fast, have intentions for each day of Ramadan, or you just have the intentions for the whole of Ramadan? Which is the correct opinion according to you, and what is your proof? If you have the intention for the beginning of the month, then that's sufficient. Now, that is an opinion. The second opinion is that it has to be every day. Yeah? Okay, what's the proof for that? What's the proof for that opinion? Huh? The hadith of Hafsa, okay? Okay. Man lam yubayyit. Naam. Okay, that's a general hadith. That's a proof to show that there must be intention. But the general hadith, the proof is إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The actions are by intention. And the second opinion, they say that you have to fast, or make your intention for fasting every single day, because each day is a separate worship. Ibadah mustaqillah, every day. So Monday has its ibadah, or if Yom Ithnain has its ibadah, Yom Thulatha has its ibadah, and so forth. Okay, how can we, what's the answer that we can have as relates to this opinion to show that it's not necessarily like that? Now you're repeating the same type of ibadah for the whole month, but you have such certain things like what? Suhoor and? And iftar. And what did Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, say as relates to this? Iftar.
He said by making iftar and suhoor, then it's intention itself.
Hmm? By making suhoor. By making suhoor is intention itself. He gave more tafseel. He said that the... Naam.
He said in normal day, if you eat...
Mm-hmm.
Ascent.
That the person who eats on a normal day is different from the person who eats in the evening. A normal evening is different from the one who eats in the evening of Ramadan. Because the one who eats in the evening of Ramadan has it in his mind that he's going to do what? Have? Suhoor. He's going to have what? Suhoor. So he leaves space. Whereas the person who eats on a normal evening, he eats and then afterwards it's bed. Afterwards is what? Bed. So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says that is in relates to this, that it's virtually impossible not to have your intention. Okay, but if an individual travels, what does he have to do when he comes back? He just continues, or does he have to renew his intention? He has to renew his intention. He has to renew his intention. Mumtaz, Jameel. Okay. Inshallah, we go to the next dars, or next hadith. And in this hadith, you can put the title, the virtue of hastening to break fast and hasten to have suhoor or delay suhoor. And we start with the hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لا يزال الناس بخير ما أجلوا الفطر. لا يزال الناس بخير ما أجلوا الفطر. And this is the hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was one of the young companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I believe he died when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. He was about 15. He was about 15 when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and he was from the last of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to die in Medina. In Medina, he's considered the last of the companions to die in Medina. Anyway, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said that the people will not cease to be upon good just as long as they hasten or race to break fast. Just as long as they race to break fast. Benefits, and this muttafaqun alayh, Benefits from this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number one. Or issues and benefits, both kind of things. Point number one. Okay, who can repeat the hadith for me? Who can repeat the hadith? Anwar. People will not cease or continue to be upon good as long as they hasten to break fast. Naam, point number one. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la yazalu nas, the people will not cease. The meaning of the people here are the fasting people. The meaning of the people here are the fasting people. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, huwa aam uridu bihi al-khas, which is an issue in usul. Huwa al-aam uridu bihi al-khas. And that is mentioning something general when the intention behind it is specific. Mentioning something general when the intention behind it is what? Specific. Is what? Specific. Because in general term, a nas is a general thing. But this hadith, this statement of the Prophet ﷺ, is it general or is it specific? It's what? Specific for who? The fasting people. So this is a proof you can say from that method of that issue in usul, and that is al-aam, or dhikr al-aam wa uridu bihi al-khas. And that's mentioning something general with the intent of it being specific. Point number two. Point number two. Simple hadith, not intricacy in the points here today, but walillahi tawfiq. The second benefit or the issue is the mashru'iyyah to ta'jeel al-fitr, and that is the legislation of racing and hastening to break fast. The legislation of racing or hastening to what? Break fast. And the issue that comes as a sub-issue in this is, when is it that an individual breaks fast? When is it that an individual breaks fast? And according to the ijma' of the Muslims, according to the consensus, that, and again, this is a consensus, and Ibn Munzir mentions this consensus, that it has to be when the sun what? When the sun sets. When the sun sets. When the sun sets. Point number three is أن تأخير الفطور سبب لحصول الشر, and that is delaying one's breaking one's fast is a means of receiving evil or obtaining evil or evil falling on you. That delaying one's fast is a reason for evil falling on you. And point number four, which comes from this, sorry, point number three comes under an issue in Usul again, and that is mafhum al-mukhalafa. Mafhum al-mukhalafa, which is the inverse meaning. Which is the what? Inverse meaning. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the people will not cease to be on good. Which means that if the people will not cease to be upon good as long as they what? Hasten to break fast. So therefore, the inverse meaning is that the people will be upon evil if they do not, or if they delay breaking their fast. That's called mafhum al-mukhalafa. And that's taken from this hadith. The fourth benefit that we can take from this hadith is that, and is linked to the point number three, and that is that those from the people of innovation who delay their fast, that they are upon evil. That those people from the people of innovation that delay their fast, they're upon evil. And this is something which is practiced amongst the Sufis. And they believe that it's ibadah, and they believe that it is zuhud, and it's getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this hadith is a clear statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned in verse meaning, that they're upon evil. That they're upon evil. And the reason that this is the case is because hastening to break fast, is it from the affairs of the dunya or is it from the affairs of the deen? Is it dunyawi or ukhrawi? Is it dunyawi or dini? Sorry. It's dini. Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. The one who turns away from my sunnah, then it's not from me. So therefore, it's a refutation against those people from innovations as relates to that. Point number five is that from the benefits that we can take from this hadith is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves that one races to grasp that those leeways that he's given. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that when he's given the ibad, the slave, a rukhsa, a leeway, that they race towards it. And that is clear from this hadith, because it's from the rukhs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's told us that we should break fast. But not only that, he's told us to hasten in breaking fast through the revelation, through the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a side point that comes from this is the affirmation of the sifat to muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah would not command you to do something except that what? He loves it. That he loves it. And this, inshallah, this issue here we'll deal more in detail in the durus or the lessons as relates to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final benefit we're going to take from this hadith is that in this hadith is a refutation against extremism. In this hadith is a refutation against extremism. In that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said you should hasten to break your fast, which is in opposition to tanattu' and extremism that we find in some of the people of innovation, in that they'll delay it in order to starve themselves more and so forth. And this, it shows the care and attention that the Prophet ﷺ placed as it relates to not falling into extremism in general. Now, the second hadith of the Prophet in Bulugh al-Maram, Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahmatullah alayhi, he says, وَلِتِرْمِذِي من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قال الله عز وجل أحب عبادي إلي أعجلهم فطرة أحب عبادي إلي أعجلهم فطرة. Where the Prophet is said that Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said that upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those who are more beloved to me from my slaves are those that are more that race more to break fast. Yani hasten more to break fast. Hasten more to break fast. And this is a hadith which is narrated in Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban. This hadith is narrated in Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban. Is this hadith authentic? Point number one. In this hadith is weak. This hadith is weak. Why is it weak? Because it has a narrator in it called Qurra ibn Abdurrahman. It has a narrator in this in the isnad called Qurra ibn Abdurrahman. And Qurra ibn Abdurrahman, the ulama of hadith, the ulama of Jarh al-Ta'dil, they spoke about him. They said, Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, huwa munkar al-hadith. Huwa munkar al-hadith. And Yahya ibn Ma'in said likewise. What is the meaning of Munkar Hadith? Munkar Hadith is similar to Shadh. Who can remember the definition of Shadh? What's a Shadh Hadith? Or a narrator that is Shadh. That has a lot of Shadh. What's Shadh? No. You have to be daqiq. You have to be very, very, very precise here. Because a Munkar and Shadh are very similar. Shadh is mukhalifatu al-maqbool liman huwa awthaqu minhu. Mukhalifatu al-maqbool liman huwa awthaqu minhu. Mukhalifa yani differing with a maqbool, a narrator that is accepted, whether he's thiqa or less, but he's accepted. Differing with a narrator that is accepted and is stronger than you. And is more trustworthy than you. That is the definition of Shadh. Qurra ibn Abdurrahman is more than that. It's worse than that. It's Munkar. What is the definition of Munkar? Mukhalifatu da'if lithiqat. Mukhalifatu da'if lithiqat. Shadh is somebody who is trustworthy, but he differs with those who are what? Stronger than him. Munkar is what? He's weak and he differs with the thiqat. And Qurra ibn Abdurrahman is Munkar Hadith, as Imam Ahmed said. Because he would narrate many narrations that oppose the narrations of who? Those who are thiqat, those who are trustworthy. And he's in the isnad here. And he's in this isnad, which is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He's in this isnad, so therefore this hadith is what? Is da'if, is weak. Is Munkar Hadith. And what's the name of the narrator? Salah. The weak narrator. Qurra ibn Abdurrahman. He's the weak narrator in this isnad. And he's Munkar Hadith. And we have the tafasil, the details as it relates to Munkar Hadith. But his level of weakness means that it's difficult to strengthen his narration. The weakness of his hadith is difficult to strengthen his narration, and he was from that. And he was from that. Now, so are we going to study this hadith? No. Huh? No. Why are we not going to study this hadith? Where it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the most beloved worshippers to me are those who hasten more quickly to break fast. Why do we not need this hadith? Okay. It's munkar, but why don't we need it? La yistadil bi hadith da'if. Fil ahkam. Now. We have another hadith. Which hadith do we have? The hadith of who? Sahal? Sahal ibn Sa'ad. So we don't need this. The hukum is there. Alhamdulillah, we have the sunnah. So we don't need this hadith. So we're not going to explain this hadith. The next hadith in Bulugh al-Maram, Kitab Siyam, is is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. It's a hadith of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تصحروا فإن في الصحور بركة تصحروا فإن في صحور بركة. Take the light meal at night or before Fajr, because verily the light meal in it is blessing. Verily the light meal in it is blessing. Point number, is muttafaqun alayh. Is muttafaqun alayh, and agreed upon. When we say muttafaqun alayh, we mean who? Ahmed, Bukhari, and Muslim. Huh? Who says Ahmed, Bukhari, Muslim? Huh? Ibn Taymiyyah or Majd ibn Taymiyyah? His grandfather, Mumtaz. Okay, so the hadith is sahih, muttafaq alayh, agreed upon. No need to talk about the isnad. Point number one is as-sahur. As-sahur. We have as-sahur and we have as-suhur. We have as-sahur with fatha on the scene and we have suhur with dhamma on the scene. We've done this many times. Who can tell me what's the difference between the two? Do you remember? No. With the one with fatha? Ahsant. The one with fatha is what you actually eat. And the one with dhamma is the action, mumtaz. Like what? Al-wudu and wadu. Al-wudu with fatha, wadu is the water you use to make wudu. And wudu with dhamma on the waw is the action of ablution. So likewise here in this hadith, does it say suhur or sahur? It says sahur or suhur? Sahur. It says what? Sahur. So it's indicating what? The action or the food. No, this brother. The food. Is the intention here is what? The food. Point number two. Point number two is the meaning of in suhoor is barakah. The meaning of in suhoor is barakah, yani in eating the light meal is blessings. Now Ibn Uthaymeen mentions a few benefits to say, or angles we can look at to see the benefits or the blessings of eating this light meal. The first one he mentions, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that the barakah, the angle of barakah here is that it strengthens the body. It gives the body quwwah. It gives the body strength. It gives the body strength for that which is going to come in the ibadah of a siyam. In the ibadah of the siyam. Point number two from the barakah aspects of as-suhur, anna fihi awnan ala ta'atillah, and is that it aids an individual to obey Allah. That's a barakah. And that it aids the individual to obey Allah. The next one that he mentions, rahmatullah alayhi, he says, from the barakah of a suhoor, annahu iqtida bi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Shaykh says that every time an individual follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fihi barakah wa khair. That in it is blessing and in it is good. In it is blessing and in it is good. And from the barakah, which is point number four, as it relates to barakah, the angle of it being having blessings, is that it is that which distinguishes us between the kuffar, the Ahl al-Kitab. Now, suhoor is something that distinguishes us from the people of the book. And that is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna faslum ma baynana wa bayna ahli al-kitab suhur." That which is the distinguishing factor between us and the people of the book is what? A suhur, aklat suhur. It's eating suhur, eating suhur. And that hadith is in Sahih Muslim and Amr ibn As. That hadith is in Sahih Muslim and Amr ibn As. Next benefit that we can take from this hadith is the husnu ta'lim Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is the eloquent and proficient and efficient teaching method of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His method of teaching, in that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us with what? Sahur, and told us the reason why. He commanded us with eating sahur and told us the reason why. A, that in it is what? Blessing. And that's from the eloquent methods of teaching of the Prophet ﷺ in order to encourage people to follow. That he'll give them the ruling and also give them the benefit. And that is an usloob or a method that the people who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give. Like if you're calling the kuffar, obey Allah, you enter Jannah. Obey Allah, you enter Jannah. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and do not associate partners with Him. And then you explain to them the reward for doing so. The reward for doing so and the fruits and benefits for doing so in order to draw them closer to the haq. In order to draw them closer to the haq. Naam. That's all, inshallah, as relates to this chapter. I've been very swift in doing it because we're going to do something else and I don't want to prolong the lesson. What we're going to do, and this is an independent issue that we're going to deal with here, and you can put this as a main title, and that is fasting and menstruation. Fasting and menstruation. Brothers are saying, why do I need to know this? Who can tell me the benefit of brothers knowing this? Fasting, the ruling, fasting and menstruation. What is the benefit for brothers knowing this chapter? You can go home and teach your family or revise with your family. You have sisters. Sahihullah. You can go and educate your sisters. We have children. We have daughters. So we can educate our daughters. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. So from learning this is not just for sisters. It's actually something that us as men, we need to know this as well in order to remind our families when they forget, in order to educate them and educate our children, educate our non-practicing the family members, maybe our mothers and so forth, as that is a form of birr and that is a form of piety and righteousness to our parents. Okay, we're going to deal with maybe three or four different aspects, okay? Note form. Point number one. And that's hukm al-siyam hal al-hayd. Point number one is the ruling of fasting whilst the woman is in a menstrual cycle. Ibn Munzir, in his book Al-Ijma'a. Ibn Munzir, in his book, what, ikhwan? Al-Ijma'a. He says that it's a consensus upon the ummah, or with the ummah, that it is impermissible for the woman who is in a menstrual cycle to fast. This is a consensus of the people of deen and ilm. Ijma'a. It's a consensus. وَلَا تَجْتَمِ عُمَّتِي عَلَى الضَّلَالَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that my ummah, my nation, will not gather upon deviance, and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gathered and had a consensus, or have a consensus, that it is haram, impermissible for the woman to fast, whether it is obligatory fast or it is non-obligatory fast, while she's in that state. Point number two is the wisdom behind it. Behind the women not fasting when they're in the menstrual cycle. And the first of those, qila, inna amr fi dhalika ta'abbudi. And that is a fundamental thing. And that this affair is an act of worship. So when the sister, she obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in not praying while she's in a menstrual cycle, and in not fasting and so forth, this is an act of worship. So the first reason is that it's ta'abbud. It's actually ibadah. It's worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the ulama have said, لِأَنَّ نُزُولُ الدَّمْ يُدَّعِفُ الْبَدَنِ. Some of the ulama says, from the wisdom and the hikmah behind the woman not fasting while she's in this state, is because the releasing of blood weakens the body. So it's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the woman has been exempt from fasting in this period. Point number three. Or shall I say, you can make the first one A and make this one B. That's a whole section about the ruling of women fasting when they're in the menstrual cycle. Now you can go to B, and that is the woman when she has to make up her fasting. The woman as it relates to qada, making up that which has gone and she's missed those days. And the ijma' again is on Ibn Munzir. Ibn Munzir, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Al-Ijma', he also stated that there's a consensus again that it is obligatory for the woman to make it up. And this is ilm. We need to know this. Why is it? upon a woman to make it up. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we're going to get to, the hadith of Aisha, but also it's a consensus. It's a consensus, it's the ijma' of the ummah that a woman has to make up a fast that she misses from her menstrual cycle and so forth. Now, as for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which proves this, this is the hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, kunna nu'mar bil qada' as-sawm wa la nu'mar bil qada' as-salah, which is the hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, where she said that we were commanded to make up fasting, the fast, we were not commanded to make up the prayer. Yani when we're in a state of hayd, when we're in a state of hayd, yani menstrual cycle. Yani it's not, we've been commanded to make up the fast, but not commanded to make up the salah. What is the wisdom behind this differentiation? Why is it that the woman has been told to make up her salah, her fasting, and not being told to make up her salah? The difference is this. Again, comes down to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that salah is something which is repetitive. Salah is something which is repetitive, mutakarrir. It's something which happens frequently. So then it becomes difficult for the woman to make that up. But as for fasting in Ramadan, it's something that happens once a year. Once a year, or in a period. And in that period, is possibly only 5 days that she would actually have to make up. So that's why it is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she makes up the fasting, but she doesn't make up the salah. C. We've done A, B, now we're on C. And that is a situation which some sisters may experience. And that is that during the day of Ramadan, during the day of Ramadan, if her period stops, what does she do? During the day of Ramadan, if her menstrual cycle stops during the day, for example, it's Dhuhr in the day in the month of Ramadan, and at Dhuhr she realizes that she is not hayd at the moment, she's not in a menstrual cycle at the moment. What is the ruling on this? What is the ruling on this? Okay, it's a rhetorical question, but that's an opinion of one of the scholars. Now, the answer is that this qawlan is that there are two opinions. There are two opinions. The first opinion, and this is the opinion of the Ahnaf, this is the opinion of the Ahnaf, the Hanafis, and a narration from Imam Ahmed, and also Sufyan al-Thawri and Awza'i and Hassan ibn Saleh had this opinion, and that is, they say that it is upon her to fast from Dhuhr, for example, and still make that day up. So it's Dhuhr and her menstrual cycle has stopped. The section of the ulama, which is the Ahnaf, and also Sufyan al-Thawri and Awza'i and Hassan ibn Saleh, they say that it's upon her to fast from Dhuhr, and that same day that she's fasted, she has to what? Make it up. She has to make it up. And then they say, what's the reason behind this? The proof that they use. The first one is, they say that because أَنَّهُ مَعْنَ لَوْ وُجْدَ قَبْلَ الفجر أَوْجَبَ الصِّيَامِ. They say that if it was found before Fajr, it would be obligatory for her to fast, so she should just fast. That's the ta'lil that they've bought. And they say that this is similar to when somebody, like for example, it's the first day of Ramadan, and you're unaware it's the first day of Ramadan, and somebody comes and tells you Dhuhr, that is Ramadan, it's obligatory for you to fast then. Sahihola. So they're saying, like if someone was to sight, didn't realize that the moon was sighted at Dhuhr, and they didn't have the intention to fast, they should fast then. Likewise, the woman who her menstrual cycle ends at Dhuhr, she should continue. Can you see the angle they're coming from? So they're saying, because of this qiyas, it makes it obligatory for her to fast and make it up as well. What is our answer to this? Obviously, you know my opinion already. But what is our answer to this? The answer to this is al-qiyas ma' al-fariq. Al-qiyas ma' al-fariq. And that is making an analogy with two different things. And that is making an analogy with two different things. How is this analogy not applicable, this qiyas? And that is because the person who finds out that the month of Ramadan has come, it's obligatory to him to fast in the beginning anyway. But the woman who is on a menstrual cycle, is it obligatory for her to fast? No, it's not. So it's an analogy of two different things. Which is why, ikhwan, if you're having a discussion in fiqh and you're trying to make analogies, make sure that the analogy is on the same wavelength. That it's not ma'al fariq. As Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, he said in Su'aiq al-Mursala, he mentioned in Su'aiq al-Mursala that one of the reasons why there's arguments and one of the reasons why there's the disagreements and one of the reasons why people deviate is because wrong qiyas. Inappropriate analogies. Inappropriate analogies, and that's the reason why it causes difference between people. Okay? When you're, for example, you do a qiyas where there is no link between the two. Yani there's no logical link between the two. So in this opinion here, with the proof that it uses al-qiyas ma'farib, the second opinion, qawl al-thani, and they say that she shouldn't fast. That she shouldn't fast, but she makes up the day. So if, for example, dhuhr comes and she realizes that she's not on a menstrual period anymore, she doesn't fast. She continues and she makes up the day. And the proof of this, which is a very strong evidence, is from the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'udin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'udin radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that is that he said, "Man akala fi awwal nahar fayakul fi akhirih." As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that whoever eats at the start of the day, then let him what? Finish the day eating. Meaning that if he wasn't fasting in the beginning of the day, then he should continue not fasting in the beginning of the day. This also applies to the one that's traveling. This athar from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud applies to the one who's traveling. For example, he's traveling from Manchester to London. So in Manchester, Fajr time, he didn't fast. So he reaches home, which is London, at Dhuhr, for example. Does he fast? No. Why? From the athar of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what did he say? He started in Manchester what? Not fasting, so he should finish the day not fasting. So likewise, the woman in her menstrual cycle, that she began the day not fasting, and she should finish the day not fasting. Now, it's about Ramadan. It's about eating, fasting. So you're fasting for obligatory fast. But as you know, the non-obligatory fast, you don't need your intention before Fajr, which brings us to the second angle of proof to show this opinion, the second opinion, that it's not upon her to fast. And that is that the hadith of Hafsa. What did she say? Huh? Man lam yish yubayyit as-siyam. The one who doesn't have the intention of fasting qabla fajr, before fajr, la siyama lahu, that there is no fasting for him. The woman who is on a menstrual cycle and she's realized it stops at fajr, at dhuhr, at fajr, did she have the intention for fasting? No. She didn't have the intention for fasting. So clearly the correct opinion is that if a woman realizes that her period has stopped during the day of Ramadan, she continues as if her period was there. She does ghusl and she prays. She does a salawat, but she makes up the day and she doesn't have to fast. She doesn't have to fast. D. The D issue is an issue where if the woman, her period stops, she realizes her period stops before Fajr. She realizes her period stops before Fajr, but she doesn't make ghusl before the Adhan. Yani she still hasn't done ghusl before the Adhan. What does she do? She hadn't made the ghusl that she has to do after her menstrual cycle before the Adhan. What does she do? And the ulama have three opinions as it relates to this. The first opinion, I'll start with the one I don't agree with. The first opinion is that if she was negligent in conducting that ghusl, then she has to make that day up. She has to make that day up. If she was negligent, if she waited and she was lazy, she didn't do ghusl straight away, she has to make that fast is not a day for her. That fast is not a day for her. And is the opinion of Muhammad ibn Maslama. He's from the Malikiyah. He's from the who? Malikiyah. As for the proof that they have of this, I don't know any dalil that they bring. It's just an opinion. The second opinion, and this is from the opinion of Al-Awza'i, rahmatullah alayhi, and that is that she should make it up whether or not she was negligent or not. Whether she was negligent or not, she should make up the day if after Fajr she has not done the ghusl of her menses, that she has to make up the day. Naam. And that is the opinion of Al-Awza'i. The correct opinion, which is the third opinion, and that is that her fast is correct. If she has an intention before Fajr for fasting, but she hasn't done ghusl from her menses and so forth, then her fast is correct. Her fast is what? Correct. And the best, one of the best, strongest proof of this is the situation of the person in Janaba. It's the situation of the person in Janaba, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had Janaba after Fajr, and his fast was still sahih, and he didn't do ghusl. And as we know, if you're junub in a day of fasting, and it happens in a day of fasting, then your fast is nullified if it's not a wet dream. But, and likewise, the haid, if her haid comes in the daytime, her fasting is what? Nullified. So it takes roughly the same hukum. And that is al-qiyas that is there. And that is a good qiyas. So that is the correct opinion, the third opinion, and that is her fasting in that day in which she didn't do ghusl before Fajr, her fasting is sahih. That her fasting is valid. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.